Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Jake.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And we are back at the Greek mythology cinematic universe.
Woo! Bow, 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 bow.
Would it surprise anybody if I told you I had literally no plans for what we are going to talk about today?
I have one note of someone I wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about last time, but other than that.
I listened to the episode twice. I listened to it about a month ago, right after we recorded our last one. I was like, oh, let me get the jump on that. And then today I was like, I don't remember half of what I said, and I just listened to it a month ago, so I listened to it again today. A lot of good ideas. Very excited to get back into it. My favorite part was at the end, Alan did not say you've been rebooted, which was a Christmas gift to me 3 months late.
I was about to say, I think that's going to be the last one.
Yep. So maybe we'll just shut it off. Maybe we'll just follow up to keep that trend going forever for the rest
of
the show.
We'll
cross that bridge
not.
When we get to it, Alan. You don't need to make your decisions now.
The problem is, unfortunately, if and when we get merch, that is going on a t-shirt, Jake. I'm real sorry.
No.
You'll wear it on your body.
No, I won't.
Oh, that got weird.
Not me. Greek mythology cinematic universe. Let's do a quick refresher of the first four movies in Wave 1, because they are like the main things we talked about last time, which were, start off with the Medusa movie, follow that up with Icarus, a heist movie.
Heck yeah.
Because, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Heist.
Follow that up with Psyche, the Jason Bourne not necessarily a spy thriller, but like a spy thriller, but
it'll be right. Built around the spy thriller framework, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, it'll be like a chase thriller or like a spy thriller from like the person, like if the spy was not a spy, you know, like they're being the one chased. Follow that up with the rock opera about Orpheus, which would be dope as hell.
And you also mean five, because there's one more after that.
I forgot to write Orpheus down and remembered it while I was talking.
I was not going to let you forget, because that
it's
movie,
a rock opera. It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be so good.
It has become the like core of my life for a while is Hadestown.
Yeah, man. About a year ago, I was like, you should listen to Hadestown. And you did.
And listen, listener, you should absolutely go listen to Hadestown.
It's very good.
You should also meet me in New York sometime this year when it comes to Broadway.
Yeah, I definitely want. I still need to watch one of the live shows of it. Do you know how I found Hadestown?
No.
I was at a Toadstool bookstore, which is a very small chain of bookstores in New Hampshire. There are two. I was in the one that was in the Keene Mills? What is it called? I think it's just the mill. There's an old converted mill that was converted into like a mall-esque shopping center. It is abandoned basically now.
Good.
Because people who own it jack the rent up. It's a whole thing. Anyway, I was in a Toadstool bookstore in there going through their CDs, and I just come across the cover of Hadestown, and I was like, ooh, Hadestown. I have no idea who Anais Mitchell is. And it said, you know, with Justin Vernon of Bon Iver or Bon Iver. I don't know how to pronounce it. And I was like, oh, he knows Astronautilus. So, yeah, like maybe I'll check this out. And then I got it and it was great. So that's the whole story is I came across it and I was like, I like this cover. Let me get it.
And now it's just like consumed my life. So, you know, good times.
You're welcome.
It's really great. And this is one of those like high apple pie in the sky magical Christmas dreamland things, but if this particular property ever becomes a real thing, can we just get Anais Mitchell to come on and do some numbers, please?
Absolutely. I've talked to her on Twitter before because I was like, this is great, and I just talked to her. She's from Maine, I think.
I mean, that's more or less New Hampshire,
which is basically just New Hampshire's weird older brother. So like, yeah, maybe she's not from Maine. Maybe she's just gonna be in Maine. I don't know. And it was a while ago. But yeah, I'm confident we could make that, or Lin-Manuel Miranda, because he's, you know, the best in musicals. Anyway,
two great tastes that taste great together.
The final movie is Ariadne and the Minotaur, which is Beauty and the Beast, but a superhero movie.
It's our Hulk, except the relationship part is done right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Hulk is kind of split.
Yeah, she's Bruce Banner and he's the Hulk, but and if they were in love.
Yeah.
And also, fuck Theseus, because he's the dirt worst.
Because he's awful.
He's so bad.
Yeah, just as one of our guiding principles, if you don't remember this from last year, because I didn't, the Greek heroes are not the heroes of these stories. They're kind of the villains. Usually they're just misguided idiots.
At best, they are misguided.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, they're just kind of dirt bags.
True to life.
Also, let me just get this out in case anyone listening to this does not listen to any of the other shows I do. I'm getting over a viral infection of my throat, so my voice is just doing a lot right now. It's ebbing and flowing, doing a lot of things. I'm trying to keep it even, but it's a little tricky.
I've blocked out some extra time for this edit. It's great.
Good.
Okay, Jake. We have these first 5 movies, which kind of already give us like our first team up. Is that where we're going to start today, is talking about their team up?
Well, we talked a little bit. We talked about a lot of subjects.
We threw a lot of spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah, we were, because, you know, in the first public domain superheroes, we were like really character focused. And then in the first pulp in space, we were really character focused. And in the first Greek mythology cinematic universe, we were just fucking all over the place.
Yes,
so,
we were.
So we covered a lot of ground, but we came up with the idea of the first, Avengers, movie is saving Pandora's box before they can destroy the bad guys, whomever, can destroy hope within the box, which I still think is just a great idea.
Is it too weird? And I don't actually remember if we covered this or not last year. Is it too weird for the idea that hope might like manifest as a person at the end of this?
I mean, that's like an X-Man. That's like an X-Man idea. So I don't think it's too weird, but I
might be used too much.
I also don't know how common it is that comes up in things.
Well, I mean, it would be the messianic child, and that gets done a lot.
Yeah, and that's, kind of tricky. And then the other part about that is now you have to
deal with this.
Now you have
child.
Hope forever. Yeah, you can't, because you can never get rid of that without also getting rid of hope. So I like the idea that just like if you destroy the box, you destroy the one thing left in it, and that is hope.
Not necessarily.
To what?
I said 4 things since you started doing your well. So
thought, instead of it being like a Christ child, what if, because we had talked about like they have to do a ritual to destroy hope.
Yeah, you got to have some sort of unstoppable MacGuffin. Yeah.
What if that ritual is a personification? So in order to destroy hope, they have to kill hope. In order to kill hope, they have to give it a physical form.
I don't know, because like I said, then now you're just left with.
Well, no.
With hope now, you know.
No. Because then the heroes undo the ritual.
So then they kill the human person that the bad guys made and turn it back into a concept.
Well, what if the bad guys were having the concept, like, possess a person?
I don't know. I don't think that's weighty
enough.
Or even
with it being Grecian, it turns into an animal. And they do, like, an animal sacrifice to kill hope. But the good guys maybe not even kill the animal, but give it back an ethereal form to where it can,
I feel like we are 3 deep in the window at this point, trying to figure out how to get hope to be a person and not, because you just need to be like, if you destroy the box, you destroy the thing in it. And the only thing in it
is hope.
And then that way you can set up later, like, if, this is so stupid, and I'm very glad I just thought of it, because here's our 3rd Avengers movie, is how do you destroy the gods? Well, you get them in Pandora's box, and then you destroy it the way that they were going to destroy it in the first one, but you got to get hope out somehow, and then that's when we can make hope a person. But
that I all like. I think that might be the best blending.
Yeah, because that way it does set up this like very long plot device. Yeah. That is just like, oh shit, no, we know how to do this. And like, if the third movie is like Titanomachy, but the Greek gods have ascended to basically be so powerful that they're Titans, like, how do you defeat them if you're not gods? You gotta get them in the box.
So this month, this year, are we gonna come up with some new movies, or are we gonna come up with like just some plots, or are we gonna dive right into the second team up? Or
I was thinking we figure out what the other two waves are, because I mean, this could go on forever, as evidenced by the fact that there are 100 million Marvel movies at this point.
I mean, and Black Panther just got a whole lot of Oscar nods, so, so it's not stopping.
I was really, if I could be real, if I can turn my chair around for a moment, I was like, yeah, 2019, Avengers 4 is going to be out. We're going to be done with superhero movies. And then Black Panther got nominated for an Oscar, and they just put out Spider-Verse, and I was like, I never want there to stop being this movie. So, you know what? Here we go again for another 20 years.
If they're all Ragnaroks and Black Panthers and Spider-Man Homecomings and Into the Spider-Verse, I'm fine with it.
I'll even take some Ant-Man and Wasps. That was a really good one.
As long as they're fun.
Yeah.
Let the creators create.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want any more Avengers movies because they're so flat and they're so bland and they're so...
Okay. But what if Taika got to do an Avengers movie?
Well, that wouldn't be an Avengers movie. I mean Avengers style movies as it stands. And even if you look at like the last Captain America, like Civil War, like everything is grays. There's just a lot of grays and blacks and some browns. And like,
okay, so you don't want a Russo brothers movie.
I don't want a Russo. I don't want a Whedon. I want someone with some style.
Wobbin?
I want someone with.
Jumps,
I don't want Jumps Weblong to make any more superhero movies.
I'm real sorry, Mikey Newman, for stealing your joke.
They're flatter than sitcoms. They're just like, the lighting is bad. The color profiles are just really washed out. It's a lot of cinematic nerd garbage that I don't need to get into anymore on this podcast. But this is all to say, we're going to have superhero movies forever, and therefore, in this theoretical world where these movies get made, we could have Greek mythology movies forever. But I want to focus on the first three waves, because we have the first wave pretty much figured out. The second wave, we floated the idea of the Titanomachy and or the Roman gods, and I kind of want to like skip that to the third end of the third wave, because that seems like the big crescendo, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to figure out who our what our sequels are to our original five movies, if we have them. I assume some are gonna get sequels. Like, I will do Medusa movies until I die because I just love the idea of Captain America Medusa.
I don't know that Orpheus gets a sequel yet.
I don't. Well, here's the thing about Orpheus is after. He got to the end of Hades, and he went, is she there? And then she'd gone. He swore off women and got very depressed for the rest of his life until he killed himself. I don't want to go all the way there, but he's not in a great place.
It's almost like the Orpheus demon in a bottle, like his fall from heroism and then his return to it.
Yeah, I want to, like...
Minus the alcoholism.
Yeah, I think he also did quite a bit of that, but mostly it was just like a lot of sex with boys because he could not even look at another woman without getting sad, which is like very sweet, but also like very sad. So I don't think he gets another movie. I think he's the Hulk, kind of, you know?
Well, okay, what if?
Or he gets a one in the third wave.
So heavy air quotes, his movie in the second wave is... other heroes like touching base with him in their movies.
Oh yeah, I feel like he can definitely float around, but
so we get to see what's happening to him.
Yeah,
and then he gets a movie in the third.
Yeah, because I think if we you know what the second movie is rescuing Sisyphus, right? Is like finally getting Sisyphus out.
Yeah, that's the second team up.
Yeah, because that's
Okay.
That's the second big thing they got, you know.
If we're bouncing to that, because let's hit that for a second. What if there's like, we don't, the main plot of that movie is 100% get Sisyphus out. So yeah. We get the heist elements, we get all the people, all the new people, all the old people back together. The underlying thing that's kind of pushing us towards the Titanomachy, towards that plot is, like, behind the scenes, and kind of like one of those things we did with the Space Pulp adventure, like a movie happening in the background that's never referenced. Right. What if Tartarus is revolting against Hades?
I like that.
That's why Hades doesn't go, hey, wait, no, you're not touching my toy.
Yeah, I think one of the things that that'll set that up pretty nicely is that, you know, the Orpheus movie is basically Hades going like, all right, one can get out. And everyone in Hades being like, well, fucking, if this guy can get out, like, yeah,
so can I.
You know, I need to get the thing, but there is a thing that can get me out. And so I think by the time we get to that second team up, it's like everyone's like, we're not stuck here. We can get out somehow. So, like, you know.
And I think the way to really tie that to Hades, aside from the fact that it is his domain, what if the thing to get them out, and I'm surprised we didn't say it last time, is the helm of Hades, his magic helmet.
Yeah, it makes you complete, like, actually, like, fully not real, basically.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
It lets you get out of hell, yeah.
It's his invisibility hat, except it does more than that.
Except it kind of removes you from the very plane of existence, and if a mortal wears it, Hades can't see them, and the fates can't judge them, and no one can end their life because they're not there anymore.
I think that that's not what Orpheus gets to get out, but that is what they need to get Sisyphus out there.
Yeah. That's the only way Sisyphus can break the loop.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great for the team up. So, if that's our plot, we need to have Icarus back because he's the heist boy.
He's our Danny Ocean.
We're definitely having Medusa because, God, we're doing her in everything we can. Because
I fucking love Medusa.
I have an idea for a secondary movie person, possibly, or at least someone to eventually join the team.
We did talk about a couple ones. I didn't write any of them down, but yeah.
One of them was Bellerophon.
Bellerophon, yeah. But you said there was somebody that we didn't get to last time. Do you want to talk about, Alan? So who is that?
Yeah.
Arachne.
Ooh.
I thought about her today, actually.
The mother of spiders.
Yeah. That's a horror movie, right?
Yeah, that's a body horror. That is Lynchian body horror.
I don't know. I don't know if we can pull that off in a blockbuster, but...
Is it... That was another Medusa curse, though, right? Like, that was another Athena done screwed her over?
Was that Athena or was that Artemis?
They were in a weaving competition between Athena, Arachne, and another goddess, maybe?
I don't know who the third person, I don't know.
But anyways, her weaving was better than Athena, so Athena turned her into a spider.
Yeah, so there goes your Athena's the good one theory from last year,
right,
Alan.
Yeah, I don't know that's a defensible position, buddy. So
was it Aphrodite?
I don't know. Here,
let me do a quick Google. Everyone's favorite segment. We Google the thing.
The only reason I knew it was Athena was from the Percy Jackson novels, because they meet Arachne in one of the books, and she does not like Annabeth at all.
Because Annabeth is a Athena,
daughter of Athena, yeah.
Yeah, a talented mortal weaver who challenged Athena to a weaving contest. This hubris resulted in her being transformed into a spider.
Okay, so one-on-one. Well, okay, so that starts out as a body horror thing. Is that... Friends, I think I have an answer for you then. This is Medusa's sequel.
Because
she's just like, sister-in-arms over here. And it's a horror movie for most of it until they find a way to break the curse.
I think instead of it being a horror movie for some of it, we figure out what a superhero horror movie is. And the answer to that is the Van Helsing movie, but...
Except good?
How dare you? That movie is actually good.
Here's kind of my thought, is that the curse is already in place. That the muses at the beginning of the movie go over in the chorus of, the tale of woe that is Arachne. And then Medusa's like, no, fuck that shit. I'm going to help my sister out. But instead of her just being like a dainty little spider, she's more like Shelob.
Oh, no, no, no. We need that body horror.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be nasty.
She's taken up residence in a city, and like she is a monster. She's lost control of a lot of her faculties. I almost see her like a Drider from D&D, where she's like got the torso of a woman and the head and the arms of a woman.
She's
a spider centaur.
I haven't read Saga in so long. The Stalk? No. Did anyone here read Saga? I'm guessing no.
Forever ago. Chorus
of Zeros. There is a... It's not the Will. That was her boyfriend. I cannot remember.
In D&D, they're called Driders. They're the Blessed of Laloth, which is the Spider Queen.
No, yeah, but I get what you're saying. Well, Jake's doing this Google to find out what this person was in Saga.
I did. Okay, it was the Stalk. Hell yes.
Okay.
Didn't she have her heart ripped out?
She probably. I don't remember. She's just like a horrible looking spider lady, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all bad. Terrible and bad. Okay, so the whole deal then is she's given over completely to the curse. She's given herself over to the spider nature, all that. She's just
because it's the only way she knows how to survive. She's killing people, eating them. Like, there's desiccated husks of corpses, like that kind of stuff.
Okay, I like this. I'm on board. I do need to point out. I feel like I need to point out, as spearheader and number one Medusa fanboy, that Medusa's curse is also from Athena, but yeah. We played it as a good thing in the first one.
I think the same one, we can't take a theme and not twist it on its head if we use it in one movie.
Exactly, yes.
And two, the actual deep core of the curse is still a good thing. At the end of this, we're basically going to end up with a Spider-Man.
Right. I'm about to send you the only thing I can think of for what she looks like.
Oh, I'm going to hate this.
Oh, you're going to hate this. But like plus arms. You'll see what I mean in a second.
I feel like that just made it worse, whatever it is.
Yep. So I think I think the twist is maybe Athena.
I just think she's either A, she screwed up, and you know, this could be the folly of the gods, or you know, the, like you said at the beginning of this, oh look, there goes the good guy, there goes the one good one that you were trying to say last year. You know, Athena's just as bad as the rest of them, like, because these gods are not perfect. She just thought, oh, turn her into the perfect weaver.
I think and I don't know when we would do it, but and probably the Pandora movie, where we get across the idea that the thing I really tried to nail home last time was that like the gods are alien in the sense that like they are five-dimensional beings in a three-dimensional world, and they just couldn't give a shit about what we think or feel until we start getting uppity. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like if they're nice to us, it's because like, oh, look at the cute little mortal. Let me just do something for them, because like the same way you put out like milk for a stray cat, you know, but then like also like this one made me mad, so I'm going to turn her into a spider lady. Are you looking at the horrible spider lady that I sent?
You just sent it to me, but
did I only send it to you?
Yeah. But I also sent a link
because you sent me the thing and not us the thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I hate it. It's awful. Thank you. No. Thank
but
you.
But anyways,
no.
Are you talking about what I sent or what Jake sent?
Oh, what no, that's, you sent that, to me, Alan.
Yeah, no. Mine's better. Hold on. This is
it
great
better
audio.
Or worse?
What a great podcast we're doing where we're sending pictures via Twitter. There it is. Saga's a very good book.
But no, and especially because Arachne's story is one of hubris. It is, she challenged the goddess because she thought she was better than her. So I can easily see it is not even having a contest, her just being like, well, I'm a better weaver than Athena, and her going, nah, well, you are now.
I think that's not a
it's got
a good
still
enough impetus, you know?
I think, one, it's still got to be a contest, but also, are we getting a little too deep on the logic of this?
I think yes. I think like a lot of that is just trying to make the character work the same way it did in the mythology, which we don't necessarily need to do. But I think, you know, Medusa 2, colon, Arachne, the end of it is Medusa doing whatever she needs to do to get Arachne back to not necessarily being human, but like her humanity.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like back to being like not a monster.
I can almost see her going from the dryad or not Dryer. Dryad, Dryder that I posted, which is literally a spider centaur, to once she regains her humanity and gains more control, to more of what the stalk looks like, where it's, you know, much more humanoid and, you know,
she's got pleasant. A big dress and that's got a lot of legs under it, but like,
right,
you know,
it can also be completely a transformation thing. Like, she has some degree of spider-like powers when she's a human-looking person, and when she needs to, she can kind of Hulk out a little bit.
Yeah, and she can Shelob.
I think it needs to be some sort of reversal of the curse, but it's not, you know, complete and perfect. It's just like, I can get you your humanity back, maybe using Perseus' shield somehow, because she is going to have that true reflection, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll cross
actually, that's pretty good. I like that.
I like that a lot.
And then that can like bring her back. And so like if she
that
starts
means
going,
she has to lose the shield immediately, though, in the second movie.
Well,
like at the
yes.
start of the movie, she has to lose it.
I don't think so. I think the movie is the journey of her getting to Arachne.
Yeah, the movie.
It's not
is
her getting her shield back to do the thing. It is, I need to get to this person, but I need to also learn about her and, you know, like investigate what's going on. And
so Arachne is the villain of the movie for most of it, right?
Yeah, I think
antagonist.
I think you have
villain.
Well, no villain.
Well, she is eating people.
She's yeah. Like you think she's the villain and Medusa's going there to kill her. But I think that should absolutely never be in Medusa's plan, because like, I think like a real good thing for Medusa to be is like a essentially like survivor counselor, you know, because
yeah.
mm-hmm. like that's what she is.
Who better to like counsel the cursed than a cursed one?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody who like figured out how to use it. And I also I know we can't have Medusa in sunglasses. That's too stupid. That's
Percy Jackson.
That's horses wearing astronaut. Helmet's stupid, but
it's still a pleasant image.
It's so good.
It's very cartoonish. But I think in the second movie, Medusa's got her like turning people to stone thing, you know, a little bit under lock. It's still like if I look at you, you will turn to stone, but she's like really good at avoiding eye contact now or something like that.
What if instead, at least when she's dealing with people, because obviously, you know, it's a movie, you pay to see the actor's face. What if it's one of the Grecian masks, one of the drama masks that she wears when she's interacting with mortals that have the eyes?
That's interesting.
Shielded.
Yeah. That could be her
and
costume,
she
like her outfit.
And her hair, like the snakes, are just, she lays them back and then covers them with a hood.
Yeah.
That would give, like, that's a really solid superhero outfit thing.
Yeah.
Like, if that's part of the deal. I like that a lot.
It would essentially be a reverse superhero outfit. It would be her Clark Kenting is with this, but it is still, like, evocative of her superhero outfit, but,
yeah.
like, her actual superhero outfit is, like, snakes out, eyes open. Can't lose.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that a whole lot. Can we, because we have spent so much
minutes.
Time.
Yeah, I just saw the time.
Okay, we need to figure out a sequel for Icarus.
Icarus 2 is all about
Icarus
2,
how Icarus got his groove back. And by
yeah,
groove,
kind
I
of,
mean wings.
Kind of, actually.
It's gotta be, yeah, because his whole arc in the Pandora is like, he's too afraid to do the damn thing because he did it and he fell and he, you know,
his movie went poorly.
It was very bad.
Like he technically succeeds, but at a cost, you know, akin to his parable.
We also can't have it be a straight heist movie, right?
So no, because that's how we're going to end out the wave. So yeah, we gotta do something different.
So is this the anti-heist movie?
Is we'll put in something back?
No, preventing someone else from getting into Daedalus's workshop.
Ooh, because then it could even become kind of a Home Alone situation with like booby traps and shit, and they're fighting on his turf.
No, I love that. I think maybe that's Icarus 3.
Okay.
Because Icarus 2
is still a kid, yeah?
He's like a teen. I see him as like a Riverdale teen.
Okay.
So
okay. He's played by a 30-year-old, but he's 18.
Well, you say that, but Ashley Murray is 30 years old and looks like she is younger than my little brother, so...
Okay, so the obvious thing, if it's not going to be the anti-heist, if that's going to be the third film down the road, then this has to be completely unrelated to a heist.
I think it has to be the anti-heist in that he needs to put something back.
Okay.
Because then you get all the same tropes as a heist, but in reverse, and also you get to... show from the other side of now he is too afraid to take all the crazy risks he did in the first one. You know?
So what if during his first movie, we give him like a cast of supporting characters that all kind of get alienated at the end because he's like, I'm too dangerous to be around. You all have to go away. So in this one,
yeah,
he has to get his friends back. And two, let's make this a direct sequel to the first team up. He has to go put Pandora's box somewhere safe.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, I do like that.
Because then we have
they elect him to do it. Yeah.
No. He volunteers to do it because he knows he's the only one who can.
I think he has to be elected because I feel like his entire confidence should be. Well, no, you know what? Actually, now that I'm saying it, he's gonna need to do something in the Pandora movie because I think his arc has got to be.
He's got to answer the call, but then immediately fall back off the horse.
But somehow fall back off the horse in a way that is not cheap, which is tricky, but I think we can make it work.
So if he doesn't accept it, then it has to be Medusa going like, all right, kid, deal with this, and like drops it in his hands and walks away.
Maybe even Pandora is a supporting character in Icarus 2.
Mm. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, I have an idea for it. This is stealing a little bit from the Percy Jackson interpretation of mythology, and I'm sorry, but we can change it around as needed. I think it's a good idea, though.
Okay, just hit me with it.
So, the Minotaur and Ariadne are already clear of the labyrinth, right?
Yep.
What if whatever magic sustains the labyrinth has gone haywire? And so the safest place is the... Yeah.
Yeah, he made the labyrinth, too, yeah.
Yeah,
so the safest place is the center of the labyrinth.
The heart of the labyrinth.
Yeah, but the labyrinth has gone insane without the Minotaur or Daedalus.
So now we're looking at a anti-heist, putting the thing back, mixed with the movie Cube, if anyone's seen the movie Cube.
Maybe a little bit more Hypercube, but yes.
Yeah, okay, yes, exactly. Cube 2 Hypercube.
God, those are dumb movies.
There were so many Brian Coxes in that movie. Just so many.
You know, I thought you could never have too many of them. And then that movie.
That movie happened.
So.
Still got to see Cube Zero, too.
That doing that idea gives you one. It lets you check back in on an established thing in the mythology without making the Minotaur have to deal with the labyrinth again.
Right. Because he never wants to go back there. I think that should be a thing is like. Right.
He will have to go back. In the third team up movie.
In the third movie to get it. And so they take Ariadne and the Minotaur and Icarus and they go in to get it back. They know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those
obviously.
Three know it the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
like Icarus should be like, Ariadne, do you guys want to come with? And they should be like, fucking no. Are you kidding me?
Why in the hell would we go back to our literal nightmare hell?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, thanks for the great opportunity, Icarus. We really liked working with you, but we're going to have to go over here and just really have a honeymoon that's implied we're just going to bang.
Fucking the whole time.
It's, listen.
Look, that movie's going to be the most popular one. I'm just going to call it right now. It's built-in monster boyfriends. It's going to make gangbusters.
I like that as Icarus' sequel. Ariadne and the Minotaur get a rom-com in Tahiti. That seems like a sequel.
I mean, I don't think they get a second movie, but maybe we do film a 10-minute short of just like them enjoying having a nice time and put it on a Blu-ray somewhere.
It's the stinger at the end of the Icarus movie where they're just like in a hammock in Tahiti.
Oh, yeah. Just like canoodling. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we'll already have the actors for that, so we'll get them for another day.
Right, yeah.
Does anyone else, we already know Orpheus doesn't get another movie. Minotaur and Ariadne don't get another movie. Does Psyche get a second movie right away?
I don't think so. You know, maybe she does, but I do want to circle back to some new people first.
I have an idea for why she wouldn't get another movie.
Is she in somebody else's?
No, she's protecting Pandora. She's hiding the box.
Well, we just gave that to Icarus.
That's Icarus is doing that.
No. Not the box. The person? Actual person.
What if
separate Pandora, the two?
What if Pandora and Psyche are teamed up with Medusa in Medusa's movie?
For Arachne?
I think I would like that a lot.
Lady team up to go save a monster?
Because I think Pandora, after the movie, you know, joins the team because, like, you know, we have this character now and, you know.
She's got wish magic of some sort.
Yeah, she's got something going on. But
okay,
I think
so she kind of has reality altering stuff.
She just doesn't know how to deal with it.
It's very limited when she's not with the box. Like when she's not like the closer she is to the box, the more powerful she is, which is why when it got separated, like that was very bad. But I feel like now they know they need to separate it because she's a target. So maybe Psyche takes it upon herself to be like, hey, I'm your new bodyguard. And then Medusa's like, well, I'm going to need the two of you then to like.
No. I'm going to need Psyche, which means I guess I'm getting the newbie who doesn't know what she's doing.
I'm getting the newbie who also, but like at the same time, like has a infinity long history of protecting a thing. So like she's still got those like instincts. So
right. And maybe even, you know, I'm taking you to train. This is your first mission, rookie. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's how I think that's how Medusa sells it to Psyche. That like, okay, but we're training her. Okay, fine.
You can't just like stand around her with your bow and arrow the whole time.
Yeah.
Also in Medusa 2, Psyche's got a whole bunch of cool new arrows. I don't know where or from Daedalus. Probably from some magic sources, but like she's just got
arrows.
Whole bunch of kick-ass trick arrows.
She's just the Green Arrow at this point, except, you know.
I think she's more Hawkeye than Green Arrow.
I see her as more Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Did you say Hawkeye? Because both are good.
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
From MASH? Hawkeye.
All right, so who gets new movies? Because we've covered all our old people.
Well, we got Bellerophon.
Yes. Did we do something with Scylla and Charybdis?
Part of Medusa 1, right?
I think so. Because I think she was going to... It was similar to what we had planned with Arachne, right? Where she was helping with reversing curses.
Yeah, so I think that's the setup for like what she is like about now. But I don't know... What is their movie? What is this, the Scylla and Charybdis
movie? Oh, I don't even know. Let me think on that. Touch on Bellerophon. Let me put some thought into my kids.
Because I like it. I think they might end up being a wave three, which I think wave three is just going to be next year. We're going to figure that out next year because we're, you know, again, we're three deep in the window on this. So.
Yeah.
But no, I see Bellerophon as the creation of Pegasus. Like it is the closest to an origin we're actually doing, it seems like. But that it could be used to show the fickleness of the gods, that he's a hero. He did everything he was supposed to do. He got this great winged horse. And still, Poseidon said, no, I've changed my mind, essentially. But it's kind of a rescue of Pegasus from Poseidon.
Is this like the war horse?
Kind of. But with flying horses and more action.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Homeward Bound. But if there was a person in it.
Does Bellerophon, is Bellerophon like the stable boy of Apollo's stables? is this kind of a rags to riches thing?
I think maybe, because I don't know Bellerophon, because he slays the Chimera, right? Like that's right. But that's like a thing he does. That's not who he is.
It is what crowned him a hero, but the Chimera came because he stole, quote unquote, stole Pegasus.
So the Chimera was sent by Poseidon.
Oh, here's the plot line then.
Okay.
So Bellerophon is kind of like a page or a stable boy or something. He was offered to Apollo or whoever by his parents. Like he was offered to the gods and they're like, sure, I need a servant.
As like a little monk or cleric-y boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made friends with the Chimera. Like it was like his pet dog buddy that helped him out. So that gives us kind of the clash at the end where it gets
then it would need to be
him.
Poseidon's stables, not Apollo's.
That's fine. Wherever the Pegasus is, because part of it is free Pegasus. Oh, and also yeah. I'm going to slay the Chimera by getting my friend back.
Does he? Yeah, exactly. Like he slays the Chimera, but he kills it in the sense that he takes it out of.
He breaks the brainwashing.
Yeah.
So maybe what it is.
This is Beastmaster, and I love it.
It is literally Beastmaster.
So maybe what it is like Pegasus is the newest creation of Poseidon, but Poseidon is kind of disgusted because it has wings and can fly, because that's so far away from anything Poseidon can do. So Poseidon binds its wings and like puts it in a thing, and then Bellerophon finds it and goes, holy shit, you're being treated so poorly, this is awful, let's bust you out of here. And then the Chimera comes and says, buddy, you can't do that. And he's like, hey,
I have an idea. I love that. Can we expand on this a little bit?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
How dare you?
No, go ahead.
So I want to expand that idea and have that be kind of the trigger for Act 2 is the binding. It was, what if Poseidon first made it as a gift for Zeus and Zeus was just like, I don't want a horse.
Yeah.
Screw your horse.
Because Poseidon made horses, right? Like that's like,
yeah, he's the god of horses
for some reason. He's the god of the sea and horses. You gotta love the ancient Greeks. They were just grassman's draws. So maybe he makes Pegasus and it's a horse, but it's got wings, and like you said, Alan, like that ain't water. That's not what he like. Yeah. And so he straps him down and like,
but he can't bring himself to kill it because otherwise it's like a perfect creation.
Yeah, so he just kind of like dips it in the back of the stables and is like, Bellerophon, my new, you know, page or whatever, like just like feed my mistakes. Maybe all this is like Bellerophon is just the mistakes stable.
It is the
boy.
Stable of mistakes.
It is the Island of Misfit Toys.
So the Chimera is a mistake. It's one of the ones
absolutely
in there.
It's got too many heads. There's three heads. You don't need that many. Why has it got a snake on his butt? What's going on here? Put it in the stable we don't like.
If we wanted to, like, low-key set a stage for an eventual thing for, like, a future movie for him, put a sphinx in there. Like, totally unremarked on. Just throw a sphinx in one of the stables.
Oh, yeah.
A sphinx, a maenad. Like, there's so much that you could put in there that would just be, you know, Easter eggs that could always lead to something more.
I was thinking, like, we do, you know, we got the three waves. You end with the Titanomachy. Where do you go from there? You dip over to some other mythology. Then you do, you know, you do it again with Norse. You do it again with Egyptian.
There,
you do it again with Japanese, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, just have this be the Fantastic Beasts area.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that's a really good, because he breaks out, you know, number one, he breaks out Pegasus. But in doing so, he does like abandon the rest of them, which he, you know, feels bad about. And so like this makes the Chimera feel abandoned, and that lets it, you know, it sets up for, you know, Poseidon being like, hey, he abandoned you, go kill him. And then he's like, I didn't abandon you. I was trying to get this one to freedom. I was going to come back, you know, but like a thing happened, you know, the inciting incident happened. So I couldn't come back right away. You know, we'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, Bellerophon's power essentially becomes Pokemon.
Yeah, it's Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Just dope as hell.
Scylla and Charybdis probably not able to carry a movie on their own. We need, what, two other people for new movies?
We need two other new movies and we know what the basic, you know, nugget of the other. Well, no. Oh, hold on. We got Hector. We forgot all about Hector. What's Hector up to? Is this when Hector gets a movie or...
Hector and Cassandra, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think Cassandra is one of Icarus's friends in his movie.
Mm,
and then we you know, parlay that into Hector, but is this a prequel? Is this a Captain Marvel style, you know, from before?
Right.
Because we will meet him in Hades.
Yeah.
In Hades and Orpheus, and then he'll be in the Pandora movie. So is this just like, maybe it's like not necessarily like a prequel, but a it's whatever his story is with a lot of flashbacks to his downfall.
Right.
And then we can see the Persephone stuff.
Well, so let's actually just do one of these where whatever he's dealing with echoes like the fall of Troy and all that stuff.
Yeah. And so we can bring Cassandra in here so Cassandra can come to this movie with him because, like, you know, in the past she was like, oh, you poor thing, you're Hector. And he's like, I'm very busy, I don't know what you mean. And then, you know, all the
yeah,
right.
happens. But then to, like, you know, bring her back because, like, you know, they have a connection already, you know, however.
I like that. Okay.
And then we can get her in a movie and not, like, you know, just dip out on her for a wave. Because I don't want to, like, abandon anybody in particular.
So not if we don't have to, yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one that I don't think could hold their own movie, but it just occurred to me. Narcissus and Echo.
I see, they're, because they're both, well, Narcissus is a god. And I feel like now that I thought about it for 1 second, it's kind of the Psyche and...
Eros, yeah.
An Eros movie again, but just, like, without the kidnapping, I don't think. I don't know exactly how that story goes, but doesn't Echo, like, become an Echo because she wants to be close to him?
She loses her physical form because, like, he falls in love with his own reflection and will not pay her any attention. So, like, she fades into just being able to repeat what he says.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I feel like Narcissus is a villain in the
He's 100% a bad guy.
Movie. Yeah.
And I think Echo could be brought up as, you know, even a prisoner of his. Like, she's not really dead.
Okay, let me bounce this idea off you. Mixing these with Hector a little bit. What if the modern plot line of Hector's movie is that at first unknown to everybody is he has found himself basically in a gladiator bit, like an underground fighting ring that's one we find out is run by Narcissus.
That's
Narcissus.
The Harry Potter.
Yeah. That's who's running it. Like, look at all this glory that I'm getting.
Right.
Where we can have Echo be a prisoner that Hector frees, but also
I have somebody else that could run that, but go ahead.
Achilles is totally in it also, and Hector's like, I'm gonna get me revenge.
I'm gonna kill his ass. Yeah. Who's running it then, Alan?
Midas.
Oh, that's very
Winner gets their weight in gold and he turns him into gold and sets a trick, and he, you know, you don't find that out until, I mean,
well, the audience
right
finds
there from
it out.
The beginning.
Yeah.
You get it right away.
But he walks into a room of golden statues.
Of, like, a bunch of gold gladiators. Yeah, hell yeah.
I love it.
I like that. I like that too, because if he's going after Achilles, then that's the, you know, the catalyst for the flashback, so we can, like, you know, get all that story out. Yeah. All right, so fourth movie is Hector.
I know the other one. Pygmalion.
No, you know what? No, sorry, okay. Alan.
Whoa.
Pygmalion is really... No, here... Okay, this is... I'm not trying to, like, dunk on this. I was listening to the episode. Pygmalion is the villain of that story.
True.
Because he gives life to this thing and then is like, you're mine. I own you. You're
so
alive,
could it be,
but I do own you
the story of his creation?
Yes, but the problem is that's, again, kind of the Psyche-Eros... relationship dynamic. I feel like Pygmalion. What is her name even? This is bad.
I don't
bad
think she gets a name.
Oh, that's even worse.
But what if it's... What if we twist it? What if Pygmalion creates a man as, like, the perfect servant or the perfect warrior, and then the servant or the warrior rebels and says, no, I am my own creation. The gods breathed life into me, not you.
Okay, I don't mind this because it gives us kind of an Adam Warlock, which is pretty great.
I do still want it to be a girl because...
Well, yes, but...
Protagonist, you know, parody-wise, we're leaning heavy towards guys on this one.
Well, then could Pygmalion also be a girl?
I mean...
I'm just doing a Google. Hold on.
Oh, also, before we get too far away from it, Hector's movie is definitely called Hector, Prince of Troy. Or Fallen Prince or something like that. Like,
oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so while Jake's doing a Google on the Pygmalion thing, what if kind of the overarching plot thing that's going on here is Pygmalion tries to make the perfect being. That being ends up rebelling because obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they both become the villains of someone else's story for a little bit.
I'm trying to think of how we can, because I'm looking at it right now, and he makes the statue carved out of ivory, so maybe her name is Ivory, because,
yeah,
you know, we got nothing else to go on. But, I mean, maybe it's not because of the point I was trying to get to, and I got distracted by myself. So he makes a woman out of ivory, and it is so beautiful that he falls in love with it, and on Aphrodite's festival day, he made offerings to the altar, but he was also he was too scared to admit his desire and to quietly wish for the living likeness of my ivory girl, and then she came to life, and then Pygmalion, which I guess is he doesn't start out as the villain, but it definitely like he gets there because like if you create something that is like given life that is now has like will. And it's like, you're mine. Like, you're my wife now. And it's like, well, you didn't ask me.
The right.
Person who can think and feel now is kind of a bummer.
But I also think that's a fun thing. Well, not a fun thing, but an interesting thing to explore.
I just don't think it's a superhero movie is the problem.
Oh, true.
Okay, well, let's take that core idea, make it a superhero movie, because Aphrodite, one, is... technically an Olympian, but actually really technically even above a Titan. Like, she's actually
a Titan.
Yeah, she's like primordial.
She's technically a primordial. So what if her whole deal, like, she's just like, I'm playing nice with the Olympians because Zeus can absolutely murder me if he wanted to.
Right.
But I'm going to also have some fun messing with him. So when this idiot tries to create something in my name, yeah, I'm going to grant him this. I'm going to grant him this power to make things because, one, I can sell it to Zeus as, now this idiot can make us soldiers. So he's going to make a whole bunch of stone soldiers, but Ivory becomes the perfect being. So she is super fast, super strong.
She's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she's basically a Wonder Woman, and she just can wreck house. She just has to free herself from Pygmalion first. So Aphrodite is like,
see now with this framing device, now I feel like Pygmalion is back on being like a decent guy because he's being conscripted into making these soldiers.
And if the soldiers, like, maybe what makes Ivory different is Aphrodite gave Pygmalion the power, but Aphrodite breathed life into Ivory, which gave her will. The soldiers Pygmalion makes do not have will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, it can be I mean, this might actually muddle it now that I'm just going to throw it out there, and I don't think it should work this way. Maybe it's like a material thing. Like, if you're made out of ivory, you are more pure and therefore more, you know, you have will and you're a better made thing. But these soldiers are all made out of, like,
marble
rocks, you know, marble, like just like a very like a strong, sturdy soldier thing, you know.
Well, one, it does give us the benefit of having mooks down the line also, which is nice.
Right, made out of like trees and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But two, what if, like, I know the myth is ivory. What if she's actually carved from a titan's bones?
I mean, bones is ivory, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
so,
yeah. Like, what if she's carved from Rhea's bones?
Okay. That's the
Earth.
Earth, yeah.
And maybe, like, the there could be some filler of ivory and obsidian.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's got to be the opposite number that's her villain in her sequel movie.
So the movie is it called Pygmalion? Actually, you know what? And I don't, this might, I mean, what are we at? We're at like an hour, right? We gotta
wrap it up.
We gotta figure this shit out. What if Pygmalion in this story isn't a person at all? What if it is a thing? It is an assembly line.
Ooh.
Instead.
Like a golem?
It is like a factory instead of being a person.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like there's a better way to do that without putting all the blame on Pygmalion, that we can still get the idea of like it carves things and brings them to life. And it is, you know, it made one thing out of ivory as like a test, asterisk. The ivory is a titan bone, so it's like tight, yeah. You know.
Maybe
then,
they,
you know,
didn't even realize what they were doing. They didn't realize,
yeah,
that what they had was bone.
Yeah, they thought it was just like, it's just a big thing of ivory. I'm going to make a lady out of it. Oh, it's Wonder Woman now.
Or,
but then, like, it's making things out of, like, you know, marble and wood and rocks, you know, and
what if, what if this is actually one of those rare moments where Aphrodite and Hephaestus actually get along?
I was
and
about
are on
to
the
say,
same page. And so they're
Hephaestus
both like,
is like the foreman of this factory.
Well, but we already established Hephaestus is not like the other gods. He's not a villain.
He is not a villain, but he still has
got to
have that like tinge of alien.
Yeah.
But he is a much more sympathetic and empathetic god because he's like the lame one. Lame in the sense of like he is like
literally lame.
Literally lame, yeah. Not like he's a nerd. So he like feels more for the human plight, I guess.
So what if this is actually an order? Like Zeus was like, I need mooks. We have troubles coming up. These people are getting uppity.
Tartarus is getting all uppity. We got to make some soldiers. And then that'll lead into.
Yeah, that's another clue to what's coming. And so Hephaestus is like, looks at Aphrodite, like just like out of the corner of their eyes, like, yeah, I could do that. And like Ivory's the first like test case. And then it's just like, they very secretly also made a weapon against Zeus in ivory.
It's gotta be like, you know, Zeus is like, you know, the first thing you gotta make, like, give me something, you know, I don't know if ivory's like a softer.
Yeah,
it's softer.
You know, something like easy, nothing too crazy, like just make it out of ivory. And then Aphrodite's like, okay.
And
has this bone hidden. This big old fucking rib that she's just like, this is ivory.
I see in my mind's eye a scene of like when Ivory comes to life, Aphrodite kissing the statue.
Just like kissing the forehead? And
no,
like,
just full on the mouth. Like a mouth kiss.
I don't know. That's
the reason why is the breath of life. She breathes into the statue. And that's what makes it come to life.
I think in every other time we see Aphrodite, and we haven't figured out all of her things, but you know, we know she shows up. She's got to be horny because she's the goddess of love, but she's also she's like primordially horny, right? This has got to be the most chaste,
gentle,
loving, regular, like kissing your daughter kiss that like breathes life into her. And that's when you got to be like, something is up.
Right.
This is not normal.
Yeah,
there is nothing really sexy about this. It's just gentle and kind.
And then she's got to turn to Zeus and be like, that's just, you know, one, the Pygmalion will take care of getting the rest of them alive. But, you know,
I just wanted to I just wanted to support my husband in this. Oh, hey, Mars.
Yeah, right. Aries.
Yeah. Hey, Aries. Yeah. No, this is all great. And we already kind of know what our Avengers 2 Electric Boogaloo is. It's getting Sisyphus out.
It is the raid. It is attack the block, but instead of the block, it's Tartarus.
Hades.
Well, it's all of it, but it's definitely like the deepest, darkest part of Tartarus. It is
the storming of Tartarus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that also nicely worked. Like, Hades is like, I'm just going to accidentally leave my helmet out in the world where someone's going to notice and it could totally be used for Sisyphus because I need help and Zeus is a dick.
Yeah, he is not helping. He's sending more people here. He doesn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we need to cover on wave two of...
Real quick, Scylla and Charybdis have to be in the second Avengers. They got to be... We need to think of a better name than Avengers. We'll get... By the next year, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
The heroes movies.
Hiromaki.
That means like fighting heroes. So you know what? Kind of, yeah, because they do fight the classic heroes. We'll brainstorm it when we're not already over an hour.
Yeah.
I think they need to show up in the team up movie.
Yeah. Even if it's just backup.
Yeah, just like, hey, you know, there's a cave by some water. We know the perfect people, you know.
They can be transport if nothing else. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I don't remember who else we talked about that we were like, we'll put them on ice for next year. I think we...
If we missed them...
Bellerophon was the big one.
If we missed them, we'll put them all on the ice till next year.
Wave three, Guardians of the Galaxy, all the leftovers. It's fucking Jason... Well, he's a villain. Never mind. It's... I don't know.
That's also part of the problem is we're kind of starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. We should probably dig up some centaurs eventually.
Chiron! He's in wave three. His flashback is in wave three. He'll show up at some point.
Yeah. What is the name of the siren in the Odyssey?
Oh.
That turns the men into pigs.
Great question. No idea.
Could be her. She turned the men into pigs because they went on her fucking island and she was like, no, go away. And they were gross. And so she turned them into pigs.
Could be her for what?
Like a phase three movie.
I feel like that might be Medusa 3, right?
Yeah. Right.
Or we can think of another, you know, equally cursed person. That's next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're good.
All right. Well,
I feel like we're good. I feel good about this.
So we're about to dive into our third year on this show.
Oh my god.
Crazy, right?
And that means a lot of things.
It's wild. Year three.
Oh god.
Sorry, I was a little slow on the draw. I was coughing.
So kicking off year three, we are gonna have an episode that we're gonna decide on in a minute. But first, there's going to be some big changes in year three, and you'll hear all about that next month.
Yeah.
So
there's also going to be some little changes because this, I think we don't need to tease. We can actually say we had a lot of fun doing the Manos Hands of Fate. Everyone pick a thing and we figure it out as we go. So we're going to be doing more of those.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of fun
next year because those are just
great.
A ton of fun ending up with a random welcome thing. Video for the Valley Lodge for Manos Hands of Fate somehow.
That was real good. Also, because Jake just spouted this name off the top of his head and it kind of works. I called that segment in our big spreadsheet the Rando Commando Month.
The Rando Commando.
So that's just there forever now.
Yep.
Alan is going to be spearheading next month. Do you have that random number for us?
Number 9. The Night of the Living Dead.
Yes!
Oh, yes! Boy.
Okay, so...
And I've got a genre, and you're going to hate me.
Yes!
What are we working in?
A stage musical.
Oh, boy!
That's a medium, bud.
No, musical is a genre.
A stage musical is specifically...
That is a medium. A genre would be, I guess, exactly what it is, a zombie horror thing.
True.
Is it going to still be a zombie horror thing, or are you going to mix it up a little bit?
I mean, musical is a genre, but it is also more of a adverb than an adjective.
True.
You know?
Okay, well,
I blew my load on the medium.
Keep the genre hidden, and
yeah.
Whatever you're going to
add to musical horror zombies...
Yep.
You're going to have to add something to that. Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Pissa. Well, that's next month. Tune in. Same boot time, same boot channel. God, I hate myself. I've been Jake.
I've been Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And that's the end of the episode.
And
see
you've
later.
Been rebooted.
Starting off strong.
Hey, everybody. You can follow us at RebootCast on Twitter, or you can email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. You can follow Alan at Alan_Sells. You can follow Jake at JJ_Mason, or you can follow me at Matt Hoadley. Thanks for listening. Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.